Hello and welcome to another edition of CamFM Trending. I'm Aaron Siposh. This is the podcast where we round up all the best interviews, features and analysis from across CamFM, Cambridge University and Anglia Ruskin University's student radio station, and put it all in one handy to access podcast feed. Today we've got a real cracker for you. This interview originally went out on CamFM News Brunch in February, and it's with the legendary Jazz Emu. His real name's Archie Henderson, but he's somebody very different indeed, really, when he adopts the persona of the Jazz Emu. This very lycra-filled, very loud character who's seen great success on TikTok and also on radio and live. Speaking of live, Archie, or Jazz, wasn't entirely sure what to call him, was just about to perform at the Cambridge Junction when we had this conversation, which I'll play for you now. CamFM. Archie Henderson, who is the Jazz Emu, thanks very much for joining me on CamFM News Brunch today. So your new show, Night Fever, that's night with a K. I understand the Jazz Emu is trying to get a gong through a performance at the Royal Variety. How do you think it's going, the Jazz Emu getting into the heart of the British establishment?
I think in his head he's doing amazingly all the time. He's a very deluded character, so he's always nailing it, and actually I think he never manages to learn his lesson when he fails. It's a really fun thing for me to do that kind of tell that kind of story through the show. I think I just love these kind of big deluded narcissist characters that are never quite get what they want but always think they've got there. It's a really fun sort of comedic angle, I think.
Yeah, so you've had this character of the Jazz Emu for a little while now. Is that where the idea for the character emerged then, this kind of larger-than-life narcissistic persona?
I think, I didn't have the character pinned down. I started writing the songs first, really. I just like producing these songs, and they were all coming out as these sort of big, over-the-top sort of electro-funk kind of things. And I guess the character sort of naturally went with that, I think, and that he's like, there's this big kind of braggadocious feel to some of these songs. And I thought, you know, just leaning into that on stage would be really fun. I think there's a kind of escapist quality to it as well, where I can just like be as far from myself as I possibly can.
Yeah, I
mean, not,
music.
Not that there are, not that I'm not a narcissist. Yeah, that's a side issue.
I'm sure. Of course. I mean, yeah, music is fundamental to this act, really, isn't it? I mean, one of the lines I've seen to describe your music, I think it's how you've described it yourself, is performing a Shakespearean sonnet over the Sims loading music. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. That's
Yeah, I think I always loved that combination of sort of high and low, and like it's just kind of all over the stuff that I write. I think is like I guess the aspiration of the thing, especially in the character who's like, he's pretty pretentious, he thinks he's really intelligent, he's sort of kind of overeducated but doesn't really know how to where to put it. And I thought, I don't know, I think there's sort of, I sort of identify with some parts of that personality. Just kind of really leaning into it, really leaning into the sort of, pretentious, overambitious, but never quite achieving what you set out to achieve is just how all of my projects seem to go. So I thought it's fun to like, kind of unpack that a bit through this character. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, speaking of overeducated, you were a student here at Cambridge University, if I'm right, and you were in the footlights. What's your memory of that? How do you look back on that time in your life now?
Oh, I had loads of fun. I really enjoyed my time there. It's obviously very intense, but I loved. I sort of turned up and I went to a Footlights show in maybe my first or second week, and I was like, I have to do that. Became completely obsessed with it and was auditioning and failing to get into Smokers for about for about a year and a half. And then I finally just like kind of caught something, and I sort of figured it out, I think, a little bit. I loved it. I loved just the being saturated in sort of information, and also having loads of fun writing and creating. It's like a very stimulating time for me.
So right from the start, do you think when you were going into Cambridge you were like, right,
I want to really zero in on the drama here. Or was it literally just you came across it and were then kind of caught up in it, do you think?
I'd heard of the Footlights, and I tried to see. I loved comedy when I was a teenager. So I tried to see their show. I'd been to the Edinburgh Fringe for the first time just before I came to Cambridge, and I tried to go and see the Footlights because I thought, oh, I'll go and check out what this thing is. And yeah, I really wanted to just kind of see what was going on, what the stuff was, and I couldn't see the show. I didn't get in this. It was sold out. But that's why I started going in my first week, and yeah, I just loved the ADC. I thought it was so fun. And yeah, I wasn't big into the drama and acting. I think I tried a couple of plays and sort of did some dodgy acting in those. But I was
So you're not
very
doing The Tempest or anything.
I wasn't doing the Tempest. Yeah, though maybe in hindsight, maybe I should have.
Oh well, I mean, it seems like it's gone pretty well for you, so I wouldn't worry in that respect. One thing I do love about the Jazz Emu persona is the fashion style. Like, for those who maybe don't know, could you just describe that a little bit?
Yeah, he dresses in sort of kind of horrific 100% polyester from the 70s, sort of a material that hasn't been made in about 40 years and probably will be never made again because it's like completely plastic, completely unbreathable and highly sweaty. He wears like very tight fitting everything. I saw these like 70s fashion magazines when I was just like, I don't know, I think I was flicking around on the internet. And I was like, it's such an odd style, odd time in like men's fashion, which is it's quite camp and it's quite feminine, but it's also there's something so aggressively masculine about it underneath as well. You know, it's like tight, just so you can be like, got this machismo about it as well. And I thought that was just a weird, interesting kind of combination. And I just like I bought these clothes off eBay, sort of bit by bit, these old vintage 70s clothes, and then eventually I was like, oh, I actually just feel really good wearing these. It's sort of very specific kind of don't know, gender expression that I sort of lent into a bit when I was on stage, and it kind of, I don't know, it was just fun, very like it's like wearing a costume, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose one of the things about your act, we've talked about this kind of intersection between music and comedy. Do you think a musical act lends itself well to kind of the social media age? You have loads of these little songs which go very viral online, which can just be about the most menial topics.
Yeah, I think it. I know I've definitely thought that before. That I'm very lucky in my area, sort of this very specific intersection of comedy and music, where like I can just sort of throw out these things that's like you say, that's sort of just like flash in the pan. I'll try an idea. It's like writing a sketch, right? I'll try an idea and I'll put some music to it, and I'll put a lot of effort into the music to make it sound good because I like doing that anyway. And sometimes they catch on and they blow up, and I can, it's a sort of like playful way of doing it, where I don't. Whereas like if you're a proper musician in this day and age, it's like it's really hard to navigate that because you've got to present what you're doing in a very earnest, sincere way and be like, this is me and please take it seriously, and but also be trying to catch people's attention in this like swamp of oversaturated content. So I definitely think, when I started doing it, these videos like 4 or 5 years ago, it was definitely much easier to stand out for that reason. Like it was very sort of specific what I was doing. And now even I'm finding like what I'm doing is kind of oversaturated. There's a lot more people doing what I'm doing. I had this realization for the first time this week. I was like, oh, what I'm doing is about to be replaced by AI online. I've seen people like writing AI songs. They're inputting sort of funny ideas into the AI writing thing, and the AI is writing a song off this funny idea that they've come up with, and then they're just lip syncing to the AI song, and it sounds amazing. And there's honestly no way, if you're a viewer, of telling between that and something that I've spent a whole day making in my bedroom. There's no way of like discerning anymore. So I was like, oh, I sort of thought my job was safe, but I don't think it is.
I
Yeah.
mean, I think I can guess the answer to this, but that's presumably quite troubling, right? I mean, like, especially a creative medium like comedy, which, as you say, you'd maybe think would be one of the safer things compared to something
Yeah.
that's more about copywriting.
I've not on the my general sort of frame of mind with it is like this AI stuff is just completely inevitable. It's like flow and into everything that we're doing. It already is. It's already being used, and basically everything that we're consuming is using AI behind the scenes. So I've never been in the frame of mind of like, oh, we have to resist this whole thing. Honestly don't think it's possible, and it's not like where humanity was going to do that. And so generally I've been like trying to be a bit playful with it and be like, oh, what's a fun way of using this weird tool, and where's it going? It's obviously like the converse of that is it is really scary, I think, the number of unknowns, and obviously like it's completely sort of unregulated at the moment. That's the main issue, and it's going to cause way more problems, and solve way more problems than we can possibly imagine right now. That's my main feel with it. But I think in terms of of what I'm doing, I don't know. I think live performance will always like is irreplaceable, until they can properly clone people, or I don't know, make some kind of cyborg that looks and behaves exactly like a human. Maybe we're 10 years off that. I don't know,
I mean, hard
but
to say,
yeah,
really, these
it is
days,
hard.
isn't
It's
it?
really hard to say. Yeah,
So
I
that's.
think that feels protected right now. The online stuff, I honestly don't know. It's changed so much since I've been doing it in the last 5 years, really. So, it feels, I feel sort of, especially this last few months, been like, where the hell is this going? I don't quite know where to put my efforts now. This whole thing feels like it could collapse in a year.
We're all just caught up in the wave of it, I suppose, aren't
Yeah.
we? It's interesting, though, that I feel some comedians would decide to completely kind of sideline AI and just go, right, I'm not using that, I'm not engaging with that at all. It's interesting that you are attempting to use it because of its inevitability. Have you found it at all creatively productive when you're trying to use it?
I think it's in the past when I've like it's very good for like idea sort of multiplication. If you have an idea, I've got an idea for a joke, and I'm like, oh, I just need like 50 examples of this thing just to like inspire me. That is like really useful, I think. If I'm like, I need 50 like types of fruit or whatever, say this kind of thing. It's like just having that like on at your fingertips is actually an amazing like comedy writing tool, because your brain just then like associates things much faster, I think, rather than like having to li list them all yourself and put in all the effort there in something that's actually like a boring and not very creative task. Is like, okay, I'm trying to write jokes about fruit, let me list 50 fruits. It's actually just a waste of brain time. So that is like that I have found useful. It's very like it can stimulate new ideas. In the sense of like, can it write a joke or anything funny? It's not even close. It's so deeply unfunny, AI.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of boomer humor, I think, from my experience at best,
There's a
isn't
lot
it?
of winks. There's a lot of
Yeah.
heavy sarcasm going on. Yeah.
What
It's
do you
trying.
think, what do you think Jazz would make of AI?
Oh, he would love it. Yeah, he would love it. He basically has no ethical problems with anything. He's too stupid to like compute the kind of repercussions of anything being bad. So yeah, he would just be like, let's go all in. He's not afraid.
So I think that bodes interestingly for the show people can go and see then, this Night Fever. What means are we talking about Jazz going to be able to get his knighthood?
Yeah, the kind of framework for the show is that he's sort of choosing the best of his songs to play for the king to sort of blow him away is the idea. So it kind of ends up being a kind of jukebox show, going through my favorite songs that I've written for it, basically, sort of the best of from the last few years. Yeah, you kind of have to come and see the show to see how the songs play into that. But yeah, it ranges far and wide, let's put it that way.
Oh, that's a tease,
Yeah.
that. Yeah. We were just talking on the show last week to the current Footlights, who are about to do their spring review. I just wonder, what do you remember about the spring review as a Footlight? Presumably you'll have done it.
Yeah, I did do it. I think things have changed now a bit, but we had a there was a committee of maybe 10 of us, something like that, and we all wrote it together, kind of going off in groups, and everyone brought ideas, and it ended up actually being the best show I think I did there did at Cambridge, because we had it was sort of just the right number of people. We were all writing in groups of maybe two or three, and then would come and edit each other's work, and it was very like it was a very fun and collaborative process, and it was like amazingly long. I remember it being like almost 2 hours long, but very fun. Yeah, I think it was sort of the high point of writing stuff there. We all kind of came together for that bit.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find yourself collaborating now? Obviously, it's a solo act, the Jazz Emu persona.
Yeah, I still do writing with people, and Hunter Allen, who directs all the videos and edits all the big videos that I do, he was at uni with me as well. So we met. He directed the tour show I was in when I did Footlights tour show. So we've been long-term collaborators, and lucky to have sort of the same tastes. And yeah, I still write with Adrian Gray, who was in the Footlights with me as well. We do some writing together sometimes. Yeah, I'm sort of in touch with all of the people there. In terms of other people, yeah, I sort of dip in and out of collaborations. I definitely find writing music, I just find it easiest by myself. It's such a kind of specific thing that I'm doing. Yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah, well, sounds like it all starts at Cambridge with those
That's it.
collaborations
That's it.
there. Always the way. Do you just want to tell people actually just about where they can see the show, where
Yeah.
they can find you online, etc.?
We are playing at the t on the 27th of February, so Thursday, at the Cambridge Junction, which is really exciting for me, because I saw some shows there like when I was at uni, and I was like, oh, it'd be amazing to play this venue one day. It's like a real level up from the ADC in terms of size and stuff. So
The bright lights of Junction.
that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're very excited about that. It's gonna be fun.
Fantastic. Well, Archie, thanks very much for chatting to me today. I'm sure people will love seeing the show, love seeing Jazz. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Archie Henderson, the Jazz Emu there, speaking to me back in February for CamFM News Brunch. That's it for this edition of CamFM Trending. We love a like, a follow, all that sort of stuff that people usually say. You can find us over at camfm.co.uk, where there's hundreds more shows that you can enjoy, both in speech and in music and in everything in between, from the great students and alumni and staff of Cambridge Uni and ARU. So if any of that tickles your fancy, do head over to camfm.co.uk. Otherwise, I'll see you next time right here on CamFM Trending. Bye for now.